Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones. The very first Sabbath of 2016. Welcome to those here in the room and greetings to those listening on the phone, those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio, and also welcome to those listening to the recording. And God be praised for bringing us into a new year. Praise His holy name for His many and wonderful blessings throughout this past year. And for the soon coming of our Savior, because now we're a year closer. We're another month, week, and day closer to the coming of our Lord in the clouds of glory. What a wonderful time that will be. So, happy Sabbath, one and all. Our opening song for this service is entitled, Give Me the Bible. And you can find the lyrics to this hymn on our website at lightministries.com/ID962.htm. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words of Jesus spoken. Hold up, face lamp, to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Amen. there is indeed power in God's Word to lighten our heart and guide us in the narrow way directly to the feet of our Savior, who will indeed save the lost. I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you will continue to dwell with us, continue to bring the atmosphere that surrounds you and your throne down to us, and indeed surround us and fill us with your love, with your glory, and help our eyes to be fixed upon thee and not anywhere else but thee. Dear Savior, I pray that your presence will continue to dwell with us. Please dispel the darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. Take the throne of our will and let us follow you whithersoever you go. And thank you so much for being here and for doing so. And dear Spirit, we pray that thy presence will continue to be with us, to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions. Please remove the dimness that surrounds the gold that we have received from our Savior. Polish it and let it shine brightly with the light from the face of our Savior. Indeed, convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Please take the Word of God and drive it deep into our hearts, that it may be planted there, immovable and fixed, and become the guide of our lives, that we may indeed live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Most High, and will be able to abide under the shadow of His loving wings. Thank you so much for being here and for doing so, dear Godhead. Thank you so much that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. And thank you for allowing us to come into the beginning of a new year on the Sabbath. I pray, dear Father, that you will also answer these prayer requests, that you will be with our dear sister Keisha's grandmother, that you will help her in her health situation, and indeed lead her to rest in thy love. We also pray for our dear brother Rodolfo, that you will help him in his health situation, and let him know that you are his great physician, and that he will rest everything in your loving hands and accept your perfect will in his life. Pray that you'll also be with our dear Jake, that you will help him to recover from his cold and that it will not get worse, but instead be healed, and let him know that you have taken his case in your hands because of your love for him. Please also be with our dear sister Maisha and our dear sister Joan. I pray that you'll work in their situation and help them in their health. Heal them according to thy perfect will. And thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, again, a happy Sabbath, dear ones. And the subject for the sermon on the Sabbath is God's Holy Sabbath Day. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be investigating into the special holy day which the Lord God of Heaven has chosen to be His Sabbath. And we will also be examining and answering some of the major questions and objections that people have against keeping this chosen Sabbath day of God. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website, lightministries.com/SDA/ID1473.htm. But first, let us deal with the question, when did God establish his Sabbath day? And if you look at the first quote from Genesis 2, 2, and 3, we're told, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So we see from this verse that the seventh day of creation week was made by God into a holy and sanctified day, and that this day was made for all of his followers to spend their time in worshiping him on. And since this holy Sabbath day was instituted at creation, then it was established by God before sin had entered upon mankind. Now, after sin had occurred, and mankind was now fallen in nature, and especially after the flood, when the memory of mankind was not as good as before, God mercifully wrote down the importance of his holy Sabbath so that mankind could not so easily forget it. And this amazing event of God writing down his Sabbath law was recorded in the Holy Bible in the book of Exodus. Look at quote number two. "After God had delivered his chosen people of Israel from Egyptian bondage and had brought them all safely through the wilderness to the Mount Sinai, God then promised to meet with them all. The Israelites then spent 2 days preparing themselves to be able to meet with the Lord God. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled," as we're told in Exodus 19, verse 16. "And this loud trumpet blast was the signal for all the people to leave their tents and come to the mount in order to meet with God, which they did." Now, all the Israelites stood at the nether part of the mount. And then again, the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, thus gaining the undivided attention of all the people. "And in the hearing of all the people, Moses spake to God, and the trumpet then ceased. And God answered him by a voice." And all of this is taken from Exodus chapter 19. "Then the people watched in amazement." I mean, picture this now if you can. The people watched as the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, enveloped in fire, so that no similitude of his form could be seen. "And the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven," as we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, it was out of the midst of this fire that the Lord God began audibly speaking to all the Israelites with a great voice, declaring his covenant, even 10 commandments, as all the people listened in amazement. I mean, what a scene to behold. God began the first commandment of this covenant by declaring that, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, which is Exodus 20. And after identifying himself to be the very same God that performed all the miracles and wonders that brought about their deliverance from Egypt, God then continued declaring the first, then the second, until he had finished with the 10th commandment. And then he added no more, as we're told in Deuteronomy 5:22. And this signified that he had given a complete and a perfect law, encapsulated within these 10 commandments. Afterwards, the Lord said unto Moses, "Come up to me into the mount," which is Exodus 24:12. And it was there that these same 10 commandments were written upon 2 tables of stone, and then God delivered them unto Moses. Now, each of these 2 stone tablets were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written, which is Exodus 32:15. So about half of the 10 commandments were written on one stone tablet, and then the remaining commandments were written on the other stone. And Moses had not carved out these 2 tablets, and neither had he chiseled the words on them. But the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables and written with the finger of God. Now, these events revealed that God considered his law to be of such importance that he would not allow human beings to only tell his commandments to others, but he personally spoke each one of these 10 commandments with his own voice in the hearing of all the people. Not just a select few, but all the people who finger upon 2 stone tablets. So this meant that these 10 commandments came directly from God and not from the minds of men, thus proving that this law was not the product of men, but was developed by God himself. And also, since they were written by God with his own finger in stone instead of on cloth or paper, plainly revealed that God considered his law to be permanent and unchanging. And these commandments were his covenant or agreement with the people that he would be their God and they would be his people, if they would keep and perform all 10 of these commandments, as we're told in Deuteronomy 4, verse 13. Now, these commandments are recorded in Exodus 20, verses 3 to 17, and also Deuteronomy 5, verses 7 to 21, where they're repeated. And each commandment was very simply stated and was easy for all to understand, and yet they were so broad and so far-reaching as to encompass all aspects of daily life. And the 4th commandment of the 10 dealt with the Sabbath. And so let's look at that 4th commandment. You look at quote number 3. The 4th commandment of God is, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it," which is Exodus 20:8-11. So this fourth commandment of this covenant between God and his people revealed how God wanted his people to spend their time during each day of the week. God plainly told his people that 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. God also revealed that this Sabbath commandment was not something newly created just for the Israelites to keep, but it had been first established at creation. Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and then rested the seventh day. So the first 6 days of the week were nothing more than common working days. And these days were to be spent in earning a living and doing anything and everything else that the people wanted or needed to get done. But the seventh day of the week was different. It was not a common working day like all the rest. The seventh day was set aside to be a day of rest and worship to God, because the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it after all his labor of creation, those 6 first days of the week. And just so that no one would forget this fact of truth, God began this fourth commandment of his covenant by plainly stating and even warning, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So the Sabbath day of God was a day which he chose to be his holy day for all of his people to worship him on and to think about his great love for them as their creator. But not every human being chose to follow God's will. From ancient times, all the pagan worshipers had kept the day of the sun, or Sunday, as a special worship day to their deity, whether that deity was Marduk, the supreme god of Babylon, or Amun-Ra, the supreme god of Egypt, or Baal, the supreme god of the Canaanites, or Zeus, the supreme god of the Greeks, etc. But the day which the Lord God had chosen to be his Sabbath was not Sunday, the first day of the week, but it was the seventh day of the week, or Saturday. And this was not an afterthought, but God had established his Sabbath day at creation, which was before any of the pagan religions had first been developed. It was those who rebelled against the Lord God and refused to keep his Sabbath law who had chosen to worship on a different day of the week, and they chose Sunday in honor of their supreme sun god to be their special worship day. So then this shows us that Sunday, the first day of the week, had no connection whatsoever with the Lord God of heaven, but it was connected with honoring and worshiping the pagan gods who ultimately represented Lucifer himself. So then, as this is true, this Sabbath day of the Lord God was a special day between him and his people, which actually distinguished them from all pagan worshipers. And this fact made the Sabbath a sign between God and his people, designating those that kept it holy to be a worshiper of the Lord God of heaven, and also designating God to be the God and protector of those who kept it holy. If you look at quote number 4, from Exodus 31, verse 13. Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. And in Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So the Sabbath day itself was a distinguishing sign or a mark between God and his people. And this then meant that Sunday was itself the day which was a distinguishing sign or mark between Lucifer and his pagan followers. So then this meant that the day of worship at that time indicated exactly which people were serving the Lord God and which were not serving him. And the same today, dear ones. As the seventh day of the week today is Saturday, then any who are not keeping the Sabbath day of God as a holy worship day to him are plainly showing that they are really not serving the Lord God of heaven, whom they may claim to be worshiping, but they are actually serving another God. So then by the day we keep as a holy day of worship, just like anciently, will show today exactly which God we are really worshiping and whose followers we really are. Yet not everyone understands this plain truth. Many have been taught that it doesn't matter which day you keep holy to God, as long as you choose one day out of each week. And others have various major reasons why they believe that the seventh-day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance as it was before Christ was born, died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. So then let us spend some time examining these major reasons that people have regarding God's Sabbath, and then see what God's Word has to reveal regarding these particular beliefs. Because we desire the truth. And as Christians, we desire to please our Creator. So then let us examine these major reasons that people have in viewing the Sabbath, and see what God's Word has to tell us about these. Now, if you look at quote number 5, one of the major reasons that people have is that since Revelation 1:10 declares that I, or John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, people then claim that this Lord's Day was undoubtedly the first day of the week. Now, Revelation 1:10 does indeed furnish direct proof that there is a day in this gospel dispensation that the Lord claims is his special and holy day, because John was in vision on this day of the Lord. But is there even one text in the Bible that testifies that this Lord's day is the first day of the week? Is there anywhere in the Scripture that identifies the Lord's Day as being the first day? No. There is not a single Bible verse declaring such to be the truth. But there is indeed a scriptural record proving that God claimed a certain day as his and reserved it to himself as his holy Sabbath. In Genesis 2, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. That was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 and 9. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And when you look up the Greek word for rest, there remaineth a rest, you'll find out that it means keeping of the Sabbath. So what Paul was saying to all of the Christians in the gospel dispensation after Christ died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, resurrected from the grave, and then ascended up on high. Paul says, there remaineth therefore a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God today. We're also told in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So the Bible declares that the seventh day of the week is the true rest day which God reserved to himself when he gave to man the other 6 days as working days. And this day God calls my holy day. In other words, the Lord's day. So the seventh day is the Sabbath day which the New Testament declares the Son of Man to be the Lord of in Luke 6, verse 5. So then there is a, and it is none other than the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, which we know of as Saturday today. But where did this teaching and belief that the Lord's Day is Sunday and not Saturday first originate from? Where did it come from? Dear ones, it is definitely not a modern belief, but it goes back more than 1,000 years. You look at quote number 6. Saint Ignatius of Antioch states the following. The day of preparation, then, comprises the Passion. The Sabbath embraces the burial. The Lord's Day contains the resurrection. And this was the epistle to the Trallians, which was written about 110 AD. And there's the link that you can find that particular book and read it for yourself. He wasn't the only one. Polycrates, who was the bishop of Ephesus, stated this. The appearance of our Lord to St. John on the Lord's Day was on the Paschal Sunday. And this was his epistle or letter to Victor and the Roman Church concerning the day of keeping the Passover, about 196 AD. Pope St. Gregory I, or Gregory the Great, had this to say. On the Lord's Day, however, there should be a cessation of earthly labor and attention given in every way to prayers, so that if anything is done negligently during the 6 days, it may be explained by supplications on the day of the Lord's resurrection, or Sunday. And this was his epistle, number one, to the Roman citizens about 597 A.D. And then Pope Pius XII stated this: "Let the public and private observance of the feasts of the Church, which are in a special way dedicated and consecrated to God, be kept inviolable, and especially the Lord's Day, which the apostles, under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, substituted for the Sabbath." And that was the encyclical on the sacred liturgy promulgated on November 20, 1947, paragraph 150, entitled Mediator Dei by Pope Pius XII. And then the Catholic Church today states in their encyclopedia, "The Gentile converts held their religious meetings on Sunday, and with the disappearance of the Jewish Christian churches, this day was exclusively observed as the Lord's Day." And that was from the Catholic Encyclopedia, volume 13, under the Sabbath in the New Testament. So, dear ones, I believe you can clearly see that the teaching of the Lord's Day of Revelation 1:10 being a Sunday and not a Saturday is not a modern belief at all, but it has been around since about the first century A.D., almost 2,000 years ago. And you can also plainly see that this belief is not found written in the Bible at all, but was first found originating in the writings of Catholic Church Fathers. So then this belief is not a doctrine of God taught in the Bible, but this idea that Sunday is the Lord's Day is purely Catholic in origin and a doctrine taught in the Roman Catholic Church. This fact shows us that for any Protestant or non-Catholic believer to use the argument that the Lord's Day of Revelation 1:10 was a Sunday and not a Saturday in their efforts to try and prove that Sunday is God's Sabbath day today in this new covenant, they're forced to rely upon the teachings of Catholicism and not upon the truth of God's Holy Scriptures in order to justify their position. Now, next time, we'll examine more of these major reasons that people use against keeping God's Seventh-day Sabbath holy today, and then we'll see if God's inspired word supports these beliefs or it doesn't. And I pray, dear ones, that we may go to God's word and not to the commandments or teachings or traditions of the elders in order to discover God's will. Our closing song is entitled, Don't Forget the Sabbath. And you can find this on our website at lightministries.com/ID698.htm. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Well, Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today, who said to His disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, He'll give us of the fountains whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind Thou art! How precious is Thy promise to dwell in every heart! Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day! Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Amen indeed, dear ones. I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for opening our blinded eyes and allowing us to see the truth that you have a special day of worship that you have designated to be your day, and that this day is a sign between you and your people that you are their God and they are your followers if they will keep this day holy unto thee. Thank you for opening our eyes, and I pray, dear Father, that you will increase our understanding and allow us to see more beauty within this subject of your Sabbath. Help us to recognize your love in giving it to us. And Father, we love you. And we desire to show you our love in following your will and keeping your commandments and thus keeping this Sabbath day holy to you. Thank you so much for beginning this new year with your Sabbath. And I pray, dear Father, that the beginning of this year will be such in which we dedicate ourselves to you anew, determining to follow our first love, Jesus Christ, wherever He leads us, and indeed to show ourselves your children. And thank you so much for accepting us in the blood as your children. I pray that you'll be with all of those who do not yet know the truth about your Sabbath. Be with those who have been misled. And please open their hearts to understand the truth. Let them see the deception that has been pawned off on them for generations. and help them to fall in love with the Savior to the point that they will be willing to sacrifice anything and everything in order to follow Him. And thank you so much for doing so. And give them the grace and the strength to obey a thus saith the Lord and to reject a thus saith man or a thus saith the church or even a thus saith the state. Father, give us that spiritual backbone to stand for the truth regardless of the consequences. Because in standing for the truth, we are confessing Christ before men. And thus our name will be confessed by Him before our Father. Before you. And that means everything. Thank you for thy great love. And we love you too. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Blessed Sabbath to all. I was listening to the sermon. This is Brother Sean, by the way. And it reminded me of a conversation I had when I was working last week. I knocked on one of the doors that knocked on after 11, and it was a certain lady that answered the door, and I was like, "Do you want service to your room or so?" And she's like, "Yeah, come in and you can clean and stuff." And while I was cleaning, I mean, it had to be the Holy Spirit to lead me to this one particular room, because it's, it was a room further up than what I, had on my board to do. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go and I'll check out this one, particular room. So I was in there, and I was cleaning it, and the lady was talking to me about the Bible, of what, she believes. And what came up in the study not too long ago was, God has a set day for us to worship Him by, and that's on the seventh day, that's Saturday. But this lady was telling me that there's no specific day that is mentioned in the Bible for us to worship. We can worship God on, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. And I'm sitting here, and the lady's 60, by the way, trying to get her to understand that not just any day is the day to worship God on. It's the seventh day or Saturday. And I showed her, because I noticed she had her Bible open. I didn't know if it was the King James Version or not. But I tried, while I was cleaning, I tried to witness to her as best as I could of what day, is to worship God on. And I specifically mentioned Genesis 2, 2, and 3. And it's like I couldn't get through to her. She was, basically like, oh, well, I mean, I was under that yoke of bondage before, but now I'm not. I mean, she used to, let's see how to put it. She keeps, like the holidays and, Easter, Christmas, Halloween, all the pagan holidays and stuff. And I was mentioning, according to the Bible, and stuff was, okay, if you look up in Jeremiah 10, it says not to be like the heathen. So I was mentioning the reason why, I don't keep Christmas. I don't keep Easter. I don't keep Halloween. but she was mentioning it as like, I'm under, you know, a yoke of, you know, bondage pretty much. Well, why are you saying that it's, you know, a pagan holiday? You know, I mean, that's like being under a, you know, yoke of bondage. And I was trying to explain, you know, to her as best as I could. And so, and it's just, it's like I was hitting a brick wall. I couldn't get anywhere. I mean, she was mentioning stuff that, when she was married to, like, her husband or so, you know, her husband was being, like, ruling over her as, you know, you have to do this. And so it's like she's basically mentioning that being under, you know, a certain particular day to worship God on instead of all the other days is like slavery. But, I mean, it's just, I mean, I could tell that, you know, there were tensions in the room. Yeah, she didn't understand at all, even though I tried to show her, you know, Bible proof that, you know, that Sunday is not, you know, the day that we should worship on, but it's Saturday. Yeah, I do hope, that seeds were planted. I even asked, you know, I said a little prayer afterwards. Lord, please let, you know, the Holy Spirit guide, you know, the seeds, my words and stuff. It's just, I haven't, you know, been back, you know, and stuff, cause that was a due out and stuff. So it's just, you know, keep it in prayer. I mean, I'm still, you know, praying, about it, and stuff. It's just, I mean, I don't get that stuff every day. You know, I mean, I wish I did to where I could witness, you know, every day, you know, about that. But, I don't. So just keep that in your prayers. And so she was part of a Baptist, church. So, but I'm trying to figure out what type of religion, you know, worships on not just Sunday, but every day of the week you can worship God. Could somebody help me with that question? Cause I'm not really sure what it's called. I just know that, you know, I tried to, you know, witness, you know, to her.
Yeah, we were learning about, this very problem in our youth and adult Sabbath school time where Christ talks about no man, or in this case a woman, having drunk old wine or fermented doctrine, wrong doctrine, straightway desires the new truth because they say the old is better. But, you know, amen, you know, the seed was planted. God used you to bring the truth to her attention and to actually show her from the scriptures. And at that time, her heart was just not ready to accept the truth. But the seed was planted. And if her heart is honest, in other words, if she truly hungers and thirsts after righteousness, then that seed will sprout and she will be filled with the understanding of the truth as well as the grace and strength to follow it. So we'll indeed keep this dear individual in our prayers and praise God for you allowing yourself to be used of the Spirit to indeed bring the truth to this precious soul. Amen indeed.
Hello. Hi. Blessed Sabbath. As you remember this study, your brother Bob, when he was sharing about the Sabbath and how the Bible was talking about to keep the Sabbath. Just like there were seven pillars to hold up the Temple of Solomon, there are seven pillars that we stand on in our Christian faith. I can mention them for the first, second, and third angel's message, the sanctuary, the Sabbath, Christ our high priest, and the last, which would be the study of spiritualism. A lot of people aren't really familiar with spiritualism, and some in the Christian faith are familiar with certain aspects of spiritualism, aspects of which the church may teach one thing, but we do not believe in it. For a small example, we do not believe that when a person dies, they go straight to heaven. But we believe that they stay in their graves and await the coming of the Lord, that they are still asleep. We do not believe that their spirits go roaming about the earth, you know, for whatever unfinished business. All those things are spiritualism. And the last days has become so thick that the people who don't know about God, who don't read, as Brother Dick has mentioned, you tell a lie long enough and often enough, people start to believe it. You have people out there actually believing that there really are ghosts, so there really are spirits. And then you have soothsayers coming on TV and, you know, talking about, you know, dead loved ones. These are certain things that we recognize as spiritualism that we do not believe in. But then there's other aspects. To get into full depth and telling others about how to keep the Sabbath, and we'll have to actually break down to the very smallest detail and what the origin of the other person's religion is in order for them to understand what we're trying to tell them. For example, when I was younger, my mother had a study, and she was reading and doing a lot of research. One of the researches that she had done was a study of the two different banners. You have those who are God who raise up their banner, and those who are the devil who raise up their banner. Now, those who are God who raise up their banner is white, you know? Like the righteousness of Christ is white linen. But the opposite banner of those who are not of God, their banner is black. And on their banner has a symbol of the sun, moon, and stars. And hold on one moment. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that, dear ones.
So the thing is that the banner that they hold up, the world that the world carries is black, and it has on it the sun, moon, and stars. And the thing is that what those symbols actually represent is 666. And the devil, he's as a serpent, sneaky and subtle. And if you do not have the discernment that Christ gives you, you know, that I saw, that caused discernment, you will not be able to see. For we've mentioned it before, there's a difference between the Trinity and the Godhead. The word Trinity is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Trinity with the prefix of tri, T-R-I, meaning three, is actually talking about the sun, moon, and stars. And all through the year, they have their rituals of dedication of which they worship. The sun god is worshipped on the day of the sun. And looking it up, you will see. And that god is dedicated to their sun god, the Babylonian god Nimrod. And Easter is dedicated to the goddess of the moon, for her number is 15. And if you do the research and understanding, their dedication to her is huge, loads of sacrifice, plenty of bloodshed. If you go out through history, you will find that during the time, around the time when Easter is being worshipped, as they do their 40 years, 40 days of Lent, that during the month of April, a whole lot of calamities happens during the month of April. Titanic went down, all these different things. There was genocide in Rwanda, huge massive destruction where multiple people, like large masses of people, died during that month. It was done and dedicated to the goddess of the moon god. And then you have the star god, which is Tammuz, who was born on December 25th. So then, even for his rituals, it was never always called Christmas. It was called Septulia. And there were 12 days. Like you see when they say on the 12 days of, you know? Well, those things have to do with their rituals. And what they did, they sacrificed children and did a whole lot of different things. And in the keeping of these major holidays or holy days, according to their rituals, this is dedicated to their gods. They're keeping the orders of 666. And this is all part of that image, that Nebuchadnezzar dream, that the people of God who were cut out without finger, cut out stone, to crash, to hit the feet of that image, to cause all of their rituals to crumble. That's just what I wanted to say. God bless. Oh, I'm sorry. I just want one thing to say. If you look, one time Hillary was speaking, and she had the black banner with the sun, moon, and stars right there at the pulpit. That's just what I want to say. Okay, bye.
I'd like to share with you something that brought to my attention this morning. I flashed it on the screen a little earlier. I'm going to put it up now. I did that by accident. It's a quote from the Review and Herald, December 29, 1989. Brethren and sisters, the Lord wants to impart to us increased light. He desires that we shall have distinct revealings of His glory, that ministers and people shall become strong in His strength. When the angel was about to unfold to Daniel the intensely interesting, and I underlined that for a reason. It's been over a year now since we presented the Caught Unprepared series on this church website. And this was a comment that my son made every time we found something new. This is intensely interesting. So as soon as I saw that again, that brought my attention to this statement. When the angel was about to unfold to Daniel the intensely interesting prophecies to be recorded for us who are to witness their fulfillment, the angel said, "Be strong, yea, be strong." Now, that's a quote from Daniel 10:19, and I stuck in Daniel 10:19 here because in this Review and Herald article, chapter 10:19 in Daniel was not noted, just the statement, "Be strong, yea, be strong." I looked that up on my search engine, and the only place in Daniel that "be strong, yea, be strong" is Daniel 10:19. Now, if you go back up here, see what do we have. I'm going to check mark. If we go back up to here, it says, when the angel was about to unfold to Daniel the intensely interesting prophecies to be recorded for us, or to witness the fulfillment, the angel said, "Be strong, yea, be strong." And that's in Daniel 10. What comes after Daniel 10? Isn't Daniel 11 and 12? Remember, Daniel 10, 11, and 12 are really all one prophecy. So this is an introduction to the Daniel 11 and 12 prophecy. And it says, we are to receive the very same glory that was revealed to Daniel, because it is for God's people in these last days, that they may give the trumpet a certain sound. Where have we heard that before? Isn't that trumpet the loud cry of Revelation 18? And doesn't it to be given a certain sound? What is that certain sound? The prophecies of Daniel 11 and the first part of 12. Well, the whole chapter 12, but the very first part talks about the time of trouble. And our study showed how we are in the time of trouble and have been in the time of trouble for 100 years. So this statement says that this study of Caught Unprepared is what gives the trumpet, the loud cry, gives the message a certain sound. And that really hit me. By the way, this statement is in several places in the Spirit of Prophecy. I listed them here. The 1888 Messages 514, the Adventist Apocalypse 26, Manuscript Releases Volume 1, page 40, the Pauline Collection, page 337, and I quoted you Review and Herald 1224-89, and it's in Sermons and Talks, first volume, page 91. It's in Selected Messages, volume 3, page 390. Now, here's the clincher. The compilation of last day events has the entire manuscript on pages 96 to 98. I didn't quote that, because I didn't have it easily accessible to put it on the screen. But there is a lot more theology in that than what I've shared with you. But I don't want to take any more.
Sad blessings, everyone. And my aunt tonight, Sister Dina, would like to share scriptures on this to protect her and myself. O protector of my soul, you will stand against the foe. In the dark, you'll be the light for me, the protector of my soul. You who created the end of the earth, guide me unto your throne. Offer your healing hand to me, mercifully made me your own. O gracious God above, I could never earn your love. I'm amazed to see all you've given me, O gracious God above. You who created the ends of the earth, guided me unto your throne. Offer your healing hand to me, mercifully made me your own. O Holy Spirit, come, show the world where life comes from. May they always see you alive in me, O Holy Spirit, come. You who created the ends of the earth, guided me unto your throne. Offer your healing hand to me, mercifully make me your own. O protector of my soul, you'll stand against the foe. In the dark, you'll be a light for me, a protector of my soul.
Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters, and that was an awesome song. What, praise the Lord. And I want to wish everybody a happy new year. And also,
I have a question which is a little bit off the topic. It's in regards to something that Brother Rob has spoken about, I guess a Brother James's website. And I'm not quite sure what the function of it's for. If somebody could explain that to me, I would be very happy to know. I went up and looked at it, but I'm not quite sure exactly what it's for. And other than that, I wish everybody a blessed and happy Sabbath, a very safe week, and I praise the Lord for opening my eyes and removing the veils of blindness and the blindness and the callous off my heart. And I hope and pray that he touches my family and your family and our children into the truth, but God's truth. And with that said, hugs and love to all.
Amen. And Happy New Year and Happy Sabbath to you too as well, dear sister. Brother James's website is freeliteraturemultimedia.org. And the purpose of the website is to show all the different types of literature that he has available for free, and the people that would like to obtain copies of specific literature that appeals to them will send him an email, and he'll ship it out to their mailing address, or they can download it from the site. So the purpose is to be able to get the literature out to the people that is preaching present truth, and allow the message to spread that much faster. Just another avenue of evangelism. And since Brother Joel, James is in Australia, then he has that continent to evangelize. But more than that, since the website is the World Wide Web, then he has the entire world to evangelize. And the website is not fully put together yet. He had the booklets that were already done, and there the tracks are in the process of being done and will soon be put onto the site. So please keep it in prayer. Brother James has asked for your prayers and your encouragement in this project. And if the website really catches on and he gets a lot of visitors requesting literature, he's also going to need support to be able to get that literature published and mailed out to them. So please keep it in your prayers, and Lord willing, there will be a lot of precious souls harvested out of Babylon and into the kingdom of righteousness through that website. I believe Brother James's email address is on that website, and so you can contact him that way. If you want to send an email to me, if you can't find his email address there, that's fine. Go ahead and send it through me, and I'll forward it on to him. But the website is freeliteraturemultimedia.org. There's no at there. So it's just www.freeliteraturemultimedia.org. And you should be able to find a link under Contact Us or another place where it will have James's email address and be able to contact him that way. Or click on one of the free literature, and you can contact him that way too. So praise the Lord. It'd be wonderful to have 100 more websites like this, being able to get the present truth out there for the people to access.
Hi, I just wanted to sing a song, and it goes like this. Oh, come, let us sing, unto the Lord. Let us take a joyful note, Let us kneel before our Maker. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us worship Him as I am. Let us kneel before the Lord. Let us kneel before our Maker. Psalms 95, verses 1 and 3. Amen.
Since the topic it was about Sabbath, I would like to share a Sabbath song, and it's entitled, We Love Thy Sabbath, Lord. I think it's also in the hymn book, as number 390. We love Thy Sabbath, Lord, and worship at Thy will. Oh, may this our sweet peace afford, and deeper faith instill. Thy angels sound for joy, creation's word to see. We to this day will raise our hearts in grateful praise to Thee. Praise for Thy wondrous love that sealed the sacred day. I sign that all may understand we owe Thy sovereign sway. Do 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 do. O great Creator King, through the redeeming grace, renew and sanctify our hearts, that we may see Thy face. And with the white robe throne, upon Mount Zion be, and joyful sing our Sabbath song through all eternity.
Amen. There's a song my husband requested, and it goes like this. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. For you, Jesus Cristo, siempre prepárame para serme tu santuario con pureza y santidad afligida con verdad con sus gracias yo seré tu santuario para ti, oh, prepare me to
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen, amen.
Amen, and thank you. Thank you for the wonderful songs, and thank you, Brother Jim, for that great quote. And indeed, may we more and more understand the importance of the intensely interesting prophecies found in Daniel 10 through 12, so that we can give that certain sound, that specific message, and spread the loud cry and help God fill the earth with His glory. Amen indeed. Dear ones, are there any other things that you'd like to share? Any other songs that you'd like to sing before we close? And please feel free.
I guess a song just popped up. I haven't heard it in a long time. It goes like this. Soft in my heart, Lord, soft in my heart, from all indifference, send me your love to feel your compassion, to your tears come soft in my heart, oh Lord, soft in my heart, soft in my heart, Lord, soft in my heart, from all indifference, send me your love to feel your compassion, to heal your tears. Oh, soft in my heart, oh Lord, soft in my heart, to feel your compassion, to feel your fear. Oh, soft in my heart, oh Lord, soft in my heart.
I have a song that I would like to sing. I mean, it's partly of, most of, Psalms, 19, except for, verse 13. But, it starts out beginning of verse 1. Brother Dad knows this song. I don't know if everybody else does. But it starts out, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show it His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing here from the heat thereof. And then the next song. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
And the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than
honey,
and the honeycomb. Psalms 19, 1 through 14 minus verse 12 and 13. So, God be praised, and looking forward to seeing you guys again.
Amen, and thank you. And there's been a request for the hymn, We Speak of the Realms. And let me go ahead and sing that for you. We speak of the realms of the blessed that and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its pathway of gold, its walls decked with jewels so rare, its wonders, as it be to be there. We speak of its freedom of sin from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trials without and within, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its service of love, of the robes which glorified wear, of the church of the firstborn above, but what must it be to be there? Our mourning is all at an end when, raised by the life-giving word, we see the new city descend, adorned as a bride for her Lord. the city so holy and clean, no sorrow can breathe in the air, no gloom or affliction or sin, no shadow of evil is there. Do thou midst temptation and woe for heaven myself prepare, and shortly I also shall know and feel what it is to be there. Then o'er the bright fields we will roam in glory celestial and fair, with saints and with angels at home, and our three gods will be there. Amen, dear ones, and what a day that will be. Just remain faithful to the end, and it will become reality.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And I wanted to share also a hymn. It is He Hideth My Soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. With rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock, that shadows a dry thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and covered me dear with his hands. And cover me there with his hands. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burdens away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He giving me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock, that shadows a dry thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hands, and cover me there with his hands. With numberless blessing each moment he crowns, I'm filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. For such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock, that shadows a dry thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and cover me there with his hands, and covers me there with his hands. When clothed in his brightness, transported, I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rocks, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love,
and cover me, dear, with his hands. And cover me, dear, with his hands. Amen.
Thank you, dear sister. That was beautiful, and praise God indeed. The wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. It's been a pleasure fellowshipping and praising our God together with you all. I pray that God will continue to bless you on the remaining part of this Sabbath, as well as to give you his grace and strength to be able to endure through a new week until we're able to come back together and to worship him once again with one voice. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. Exodus 20, verse 8-10. So may God bless you with his spirit and truth, dear ones, especially more in this new year than in this past year.